It's a Friday, and as we always do, Scoops with DannyMac.com. We visit with Ben Fredrickson, our weekly visit with the lead sports columnist of the Post-Dispatch, and we're brought to you by Ryan Kelly, and he is the home loan expert, the good folks at Schnucks as well. And make sure you download that rewards app for your holiday savings. So, Ben, good morning to you. Lots to get into, and hopefully your holidays are going well.
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, happy Friday to you. I'm in a festive spirit, and I hope you are as well. I can hear the holiday cheer in your voice, my friend.
Always, always happy. I just go back to this time last year, and I say, you know, there weren't fans in the stands, and to me, that was the story of this past season. However, and really the past year. However, I thought it'd be kind of fun on this Friday to look at maybe your top athlete, story you're looking forward to, team of the year, those kind of things. So I'm going to throw some of these things at you, and we'll see where we go. You ready to see what we come up with here?
Yeah, sounds good. I feel like I'm on the hot seat, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. This will be good for my Christmas column planning that I got to write for later this year.
And I do anticipate that you will have a mention of scoopswithdannymac.com.
Well, if you play your cards right.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. and if that's the case, Ben, we'll do whatever you want. Okay, so
all right, hit me. Let's go.
What is the best sports story of the year in St. Louis as you reflect now, as we're right around the first of the year coming up in 2022, but the best sports story of 2021, what did you come up with?
Well, I think it was, Dan, that St. Louis winning its battle with the NFL. Now, I use the term winning. Not everyone will agree with that phrase, but I do think it was a win to get nearly $800 million when there was $18 million cash out of pocket in the failed attempt to keep the Rams in what turned out to be a rigged process, to get nearly $800 million and to have the NFL, admit by settlement that it had broken its relocation guidelines to the point that it forked over one of the biggest settlements in league history. On a subject of relocation that it very rarely hands over money and very rarely loses those legal battles, I think that was a big win. I think it was a massive story. I spent, nearly 4 years covering that thing. I'm glad to some degree that it has reached a resolution. There still be some more that comes in terms of how the money gets split up, where it goes. I know a lot of folks are interested in that, but I do think that getting more than a pound of flesh, nearly 800 million pounds of flesh from Stan Kroenke in the league, I think that's a pretty big story, even if it was muted nationally to some degree.
How about your athlete of the year in St. Louis, or at least the area?
Well, I got to go with Nolan Arenado, right? The Cardinals are the biggest needle mover in St. Louis. We all know it, and he was the big acquisition. He was under a lot of pressure. Everybody was wondering about those opt-outs that he has, now one left. But I thought he held up, Dan. He played. He posted. He was in every game. He delivered at the plate. There wasn't some Coors Field hangover. His defense was spectacular. He wasn't perfect, but he's a really dang good ball player, and he's going to be here for a long time. He fell in love with the city, and the city loves him back. I think there's more good things ahead for Nolan Arenado's time with the Cardinals, and I think that he lived up to expectations, and they were pretty high for him.
How about the team of the year as you reflect on 2021?
I'll go with SLU Soccer, man, and it's great what Coach Kalish has done in Midtown there. It's a proud program, one that has won a whole bunch of national championships, and it's a soccer crazy city. And to see what he has done there in terms of recruiting, the run that they made to the Elite Eight this year, the attendance that they set for home games, and the fact that this team is going to be good for years to come, I think that one's easy. And I think it's the Billiken soccer team, with hopefully more big headlines to that team to come.
Yeah, it probably hasn't gotten enough attention. You know, you're one win away from going to the Final Four with a team that, or at least a city that's on the cusp of having a professional team. So maybe a little bit more should have been made of that than we got to this year.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. And I can tell you what, people were interested in the team. They were reading about it. We could see that from our metrics at the paper. And it's kind of like it was a slow burn almost. People realized, hey, all of a sudden this team is really good. They've been undefeated up into the point they entered the NCAA tournament, they were the only undefeated team left in the tournament. When they were bounced against a good team in a really sloppy conditions there against Washington and Seattle. So I don't think the energy, I don't think the attention will be lost over the offseason. I think when that team kicks off next year and they have a really good team again, I think the interest level will be right back there. So that could be a good thing if they can sustain it. And from what I know about this team, this roster, they're going to be just as good, if not better, next year. So there should be plenty of reason for that attention to stick around.
So as we look back to 2021, the story that you wrote that you're most proud of, and it could be a personal thing, it could be on an individual or a team or a lawsuit, whatever the case may be. But what's the one story? And you do countless of stories of different individuals and teams and various things that happen in sports. So which one are you most proud of?
Oh man, that's a good one. I've got some ones I'd like to take back. It seems like those ones always come to mind.
So which ones? All right, we'll start with that one. Which one do you want pull back?
I think I was probably a little overly optimistic. This is a shocker. Folks will laugh at me for this. Maybe being a little overly optimistic about the Missouri football season that we just watched headed into it. I'll say this, I am proud. And this is kind of breaking the rules, Dan, but because we were talking about the lawsuit earlier, the first column that I wrote about the Rams relocation lawsuit was one where I said, look, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school. I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I don't play one on TV, but I think these guys have a case, and I applaud them for trying. And St. Louis has to start sticking up for itself instead of just assuming that people are going to come in and take advantage of it and leave and never have to pay a price for doing something that's wrong. And I believe that when it was filed, and that looked smart. And some of the things I write don't always look smart, but that one did. And there was a lot of, kind of dismissal of the lawsuit. There was jokes made. There was a lot of hot takes about it not being something that could hold up. And I understand why. Because very rarely does a city go against the league and win. But I am proud of that because I kind of invited people to get on board with this and to see it through and not rush to judgment before, the thing played out. And I'm proud of taking that stance. In terms of this actual year, this is my answer that when I'm not cheating. I got a chance to tail Eli Drinkwitz around at SEC Media Days. And if you remember back that far, Dan, he was on fire down there. He was zinging and making headlines, and he kind of got humbled, when the season started, but that's who he is. He likes to play the role of entertainer. He likes to nudge his fellow coaches. He likes to stir the pot on Twitter. And it was really kind of a coming out party, I think, for him down there at Hoover, and getting a chance to kind of tail him and see all of the different little one-liners he had. I hope that column gave folks an idea of the kind of coach that they have here, good or bad. You're going to love it when they're winning, and you might roll your eyes some when they're losing, and people are going to love to beat him with some of the things that he says. But I'll give him credit. The guy he ribbed the hardest, Dan, was Dan Mullen at Florida, and they beat the Gators, and Dan Mullen got fired. So Eli gets that last laugh.
How about looking ahead? What do you think is the most intriguing storyline of 2022?
I got a couple. How the Rams money settlement money gets split up and used. That's maybe not so much of a sports story, but I know there's a lot of interest in that. I'm curious to see what the Blues do ultimately with Vladimir Tarasenko. I was one of the things I wrote that I'm not so certainly wasn't so right about was I thought they had to get rid of this guy before the season started, and he hasn't played as well, all throughout the season as he did at the start. But he has been a performing member of the team. He's did what he said he was going to do, show up and be a professional. And I wasn't sure if the team was going to, accept that, or if they were going to be able to all get along, and they have. So I had to eat some crow on that. But I am curious what the long term goal is there. Do they end up trading him? Is it a mea culpa and all things are forgiven? And has there been some kumbaya and he sticks around? I'm fascinated with that. And as well as this team, I mean, we don't know, Dan, what the Blues can be at their high watermark because they haven't been healthy. We saw them start like a rocket, and then COVID and injuries started chipping away, but they're playing tough. They're testing their depth. They could have a special year in them, but where does Laddie fit into that, I think, is a big one. And I'd also throw in there, Konzo Martin at Mizzou. I am not ready to fire Konzo Martin, but I know a lot of people think that they Missouri should after this season. Can he give some signs of progress this season? Is there someone willing to pay $6 million to go take a chance on some other coach? That's a fascinating story. And then the big one is going to be the Cardinals, Dan. They made a surprise firing of a manager. They promoted this bench coach. There is an assumption that the Cardinals are going to be a very good team this coming season if we get out of this lockout speculation, which is another big story, of course, and what they can play like with under Ollie Marmol as he puts his fingerprints on this team. I think that's a big one, too.
I'm fascinated, especially if we get more lax with COVID restrictions, and right now not going in the right direction, but you get into the outdoors and baseball's back, and maybe this is the direction you go with this question and the answer, but the one sports figure that you'd like to learn more about and want to get to know and write about, who would that be?
It's got to be Ollie, right? You know, the Shilt, there's probably still something, maybe it will come out, maybe it won't, something to be written about what exactly, you know, crossed the line for Shilt. But really, this is Ollie's team now. It's Ollie's show. And figuring out how he's going to do things differently, what things will be the same, who he is as a manager. We know Ollie, you know, he's been around, but it's different when you sit in the big chair and now he's in it. So seeing kind of the profile that he wants this team to have and how he takes the reins here, I think that's compelling. He's a very smart man. He has a good relationship with the players. He is very competitive and very detail oriented. You know, and how does that mesh with pro players who are now seeing him in a different light? He's not a bench coach anymore. He's the manager. He's the guy telling them, hey, we're switching the lineup daily, and here's why we got to do it. He's the guy telling guys they're taking days off whether they want to or not. He's going to do some things differently, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he goes about building players' trust, holding on to it. The best way to do it, of course, Dan, is to win. And I think that I think that will certainly make whatever changes he wants to make go quite a bit easier. Another name I'm very much interested in watching, Luther Burden. This guy is the real deal. If you had a chance to watch him play in high school, he is a special, special player, whether he's returning punts or kicks or catching passes or taking handoffs. He can do a lot of different things, and he has given Eli Drinkwitz a lot of juice in this very impressive, historically highly ranked signing class to see what he can do in the fall at Mizzou as a freshman. It's going to influence Eli's recruiting moving forward. It's going to put and help define the Tigers' trajectory under Eli Drinkwitz. So there's not a name that's more important at Missouri right now than Luther Burden.
Yeah, and there's some things I'm going to ask you now kind of moving forward. Just even this past week, the signing class led by Luther Burden and Eli Drinkwitz, man, he's making some noise right now in the SEC.
He is, and there's really two ways this is going to go, Dan, in this wild, crazy world of name, image, and likeness. You're either going to figure it out or you're going to get lost in the wilderness. And we've seen some coaches kind of sound like they're going both ways here. I mean, Deion Sanders is flipping guys from Florida State and getting a top-ranked player at Jackson State. And you go, okay, well, how long is he going to be there? And how long is it going to take a Power Five to come in and try to get showtime on their sideline? I mean, it's crazy what he's done. He's using name, image, and likeness. He's using it well. Eli Drinkwitz has been an early adapter, and he's using it well. This is the highest ranked class Missouri has had since recruiting classes started getting ranked. Eli is using his leverage to stress to fans, boosters, supporters, you have to get in on this if you want these kind of players to come. You've got to come up with name, image, likeness deals. You've got to buy tickets. You've got to put butts in seats at stadiums, because that's what helps this thing start to grow. So we'll see. He's got to take that recruiting success and translate it to the field, but you have to like this class, and not just because it's got a lot of talented players from in and around Missouri, which it does, but because of what it is as a whole. You've got solid defensive linemen like Marquise Gracial, who's, I think, a very good player. You know, the heavy hitters in the SEC were fired up about him. You get the defensive end from Boonville, who anytime you've got a kid that's throwing away, you know, the LSU hats and the Alabama and Georgia hats off the table and picking Mizzou, that's pretty good company there. So he's got it rolling. He's got to translate it to the field, and he's going to let Mizzou fans and supporters know what they need to do to help him do it. So there's really only winners and losers on signing day. You don't want to be in the middle. And if you are, you're a loser. Eli Drinkwitz was a winner.
I'm really fascinated by what is going to happen with name, image, likeness. And the fact is, these kids are free agents, man, every year. And sometimes it works out with the transfer portal. Some kids, though, and that's kind of the dirty underbelly of this, some of these kids get told, hey, man, you need to go somewhere else and go play. And then they put themselves in the transfer portal, and they find out, you know what, no one else really wants me. I can't play, and I'm on the outside looking in. So this next, I would say, 12 to 24 months, you know, year or two is going to be pretty fascinating in college sports.
Man, and you have to worry too, okay, say, like if you're Eli Drinkwitz right now, Dan, let's just use a real-world example. You've got a very highly touted quarterback signee coming in Sam Horn. You're hoping that he doesn't want to go play baseball in the major leagues. You want him to come to campus and play baseball and football for Mizzou, and he's wanting to start right away. So you're telling him, yeah, there could be a chance to do that. Well, if you're also Eli Drinkwitz, saying you might want to be thinking, well, there are all these transfer quarterbacks who have experience. You know, there's a kid from UCF who's leaving. There's Spencer Rattler who's leaving Oklahoma. And with Connor Bazelak, the disappointing season he had, you hope he's healthy and is back ready to battle for a job next year. But you also probably have to at least look around at the transfer market. Well, then, you know, if you start looking around, then you might lose a Connor Bazelak or a Brady Cook or a Tyler Macon, somebody who's on your depth chart now. And then it's all a chess match, and the grass is never looked greener to guys who feel like they haven't gotten their shot. Now the name, image, likeness money is, you know, causing some guys to bounce around and take different deals before they even play a full season somewhere. So I can't imagine that college football coaches have ever slept less easily than they are right now. But here's the thing, Dan, they're getting paid pretty well, but better now than ever before, most of them after this last round of hiring. And it comes with a lot of well-compensated stress. Now, at some point, there's going to have to be either a calming period, or there's going to have to be some rules put in place where, you know, you have to make sure that the deals being promised are being delivered. Who knows what happens if those things start falling through? Who knows what happens if players start, you know, backing out of deals? What if you give a starting quarterback a name, image, likeness deal and he never plays, or he gets benched or suspended? Do you get that money back? I think this is so new, and it's such kind of uncharted territory. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet. There are probably a lot of schools that are going to be asking for forgiveness instead of permission. And if you think college football coaches aren't sleeping well, then imagine what the NCAA feels like, because everybody hates it. And it's going to have to be the group that tries to come up with some sort of regulation for this stuff.
As always, we're brought to you by the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, the 5-minute loan approval, only available at thehomeloanexpert.com, and our good friends at Schnucks. Holiday shopping, grocery shopping, make sure you do it at Schnucks and download the Schnucks Rewards app. I'm going to give you some baseball names, and I kind of throw them all in the same pot here, and I'm just looking forward to watching them play. But Jordan Walker, number one prospect by Baseball America, recently came out. Certainly Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, and Juan Yepes. I mean, these are four guys that we've heard a lot about here in the last couple of years, and I'm excited about spring training and really what the season holds for those four guys, and see where they may wind up and what they might do at the major league level.
Man, all of them. You know, Yepes is a guy who he showed up in L.A. for the wild card game. And you followed his numbers in the minors. You knew what he was doing. He showed up, and he didn't get a chance to contribute. But he looked like a guy who's ready. He looked like a guy who's ready to be out of Memphis for good. I think he's going to have a chance to really carve out a role there. That DH opens up a realm of possibilities. If you want, you know, a Nolan Gorman to get his feet wet without having to play in the infield every day, you can do that. I think Yepes could be in that mix as well. You know, a guy like Walker, it seems like he just has flown up the radar, and you see why. I mean, if you've watched any footage or have seen this kid down at spring training take BP, it's just like it has that sound to it, Dan, where you have to look. And certain guys hit the ball in a way that you look up, and he's got that in his bat. You know, you've got guys like Brendan Donovan who I think are ready to contribute in some way. So there should be and could be some real intrigue for new names, new faces, also familiar names who could have bigger roles with what Lars Nootbaar did in Arizona. You know, he's ready to be a fourth outfielder and then some. So there's a lot of encouraging young guys on the cusp here that the Cardinals, we've heard them say, they're going to find chances for. The one thing they've told themselves, especially after the way the Rosarena thing played out, is they're going to make sure that they're getting back to getting their guys a chance before they go and fill from the outside. And I think that we're going to see that. Now, here's my but. They still are also going to keep an eye on markets and see what's available. If a guy like a Trevor Story, who they've shown interest to in the past, becomes available on a short-term deal that's team-friendly, it doesn't block guys for years to come, I'm curious to see what the Cardinals do and don't do when the business of baseball opens up again. I would be surprised if they're completely done yet. We know they're going to look at some bullpen arms. You know, they could potentially, you know, depending on what plays out, look at other kinds of pitching, a swingman type. But do they have a little more surprise in them? I don't know. I am looking forward, Dan, to the business of baseball getting open again so we can find out.
Absolutely. I'll give you another storyline that to me should be a big one, but I think it's, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it's kind of flown under the radar. Does Craig Berube get an extension before the season ends? And you look at what he's done with a team that's been hit with injury and sickness and COVID and all the different things that they've been able to do, and they've got a game tonight against the Dallas Stars. They've had five different goaltenders at one point this year. Bennington will come back, obviously. But big-name guys, Krug, Falk, they've been out, others, and they're finding ways to win. But I am kind of fascinated to see where this particular extension goes. Does it happen before the new year? Is it going to happen in a month? Is it going to happen until after the season? But that is a storyline. I think that's something to watch out for.
Don't let him leave. That's all I got to say. I'd have a hard time thinking Army would allow that to happen. It seems like Berube is what this team needs. He knows when to be a hard ass. He knows when to crack a joke. He knows when to hold somebody accountable. He knows when to put his arm around a guy. I think he's gotten better about being more welcoming and more supportive of younger guys who they have to lean on. And I think what he has done this season in keeping this team in contention while COVID and these protocols and injuries have at times made them look like, I mean, for Christ's sake, Dan, they're on the road and they're picking guys up from a beer league team to be their emergency backup. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you see in like low budget movies. And here they are in really good spot in the standings. And he doesn't flinch. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. He doesn't whine or complain about the protocols that are stupid and they deserve to be whined and complained about. He just brings his, you know, brings his lunch pail in, and his players, because of that, do the same thing. So I think the Blues would be crazy if they let Craig Berube get away. You know, I think that he has a good relationship with Armstrong, and they've got to see that they're the best for each other. And that's, I would do it sooner rather than later and not let there be much suspense. He's not the kind of guy who's going to get an extension and stop working. I can tell you that.
No. And I'll give you one more person to watch out for, and that would be the AD at Mizzou. Get under, you know, let's say you're watching the football season now, basketball, get a year under her belt, and then kind of see what you can do to, be on the same page with your football coach is obvious when you're in the SEC, but trying to get more people in the seats. How do you build the brand? All those things. I think that's a storyline to kind of watch out for too next year.
I agree. And Desiree Reed-Francois is going to have an interesting conversation about Konzo Martin. And look, I am a big fan of Konzo. I wouldn't fire him. I'll get labeled a Zoe homer for that. All good. But she's the ultimate decider, and she's the one who decides if a $6 million buyout plus the contract of a new coach for a program that is not exactly killing it in revenue right now is a sound investment. And if it's not, then she's the one who decides, okay, what conversations do I have to try to get this basketball team where it should be? Do there need to be other staff changes? Do there need to be more investment in the name, image, likeness thing. I can tell you this, it does not seem to me, based off of what I've read, that the name, image, likeness support that is there for Mizzou football is there for Mizzou basketball. And I can tell you this much, it's not because Konzo Martin doesn't want it or isn't interested in having it. He was in favor of this legislation passing. He views it as a way for this this team to compete, for him to compete. He's competed for so long trying to be clean in a sport that's dominated by a lot of guys who are playing dirty. He thinks this is a chance to level the playing field. Is the Mizzou basketball getting the same kind of NIL love? That might be something that Desiree Reed-Francois needs to try to even up and really improve. If the basketball team is going to start improving its chances recruiting, getting a better product on the floor, that's one way, one thing to look at. But she's going to hear a lot of pressure about the basketball team. She's got to figure out a way to help Eli Drinkwitz get people in the seats. Winning is the best way to do it, sure. But are there other ways? Are there other ways to get Mizzou football fans to skip deer hunting, or at least at that time, and go to a football game in the fall? Those are her challenges. The SEC, Dan, there is a big old gap between the schools that are printing money and throwing it around in NIL deals and where Missouri is. And it's her job. She's here to help close it. She's got a lot of work to do. And I think she's up for the challenge. She's committed. She has, you know, really, I think, taken a stock of the situation. She's already starting to make some changes. But what trajectory she's going to put this program on, both football and basketball, we're going to need to find that out here in the coming year.
And one more thing. Huge game tomorrow night. SLU, number 13, Auburn at Chaffetz Arena. I would anticipate a huge crowd. SLU has had a couple of non-conference wins at home that I would like to have seen them win. But this is a way to make up for it when you get a top 15 team in your place and a chance to pick up a huge non-conference win before conference play begins.
They had a nice bounce back against Boston College, so they should be in a good mindset there. Look, this is where SLU is now, Dan. The past, you start with Travis Ford's third season moving forward. SLU is right there with Dayton and VCU in terms of wins in the A-10 during that time. They are one of the better A-10 teams. Here's the other problem, though. They have not beaten a top 25 team ever since Travis Ford showed up at Chaffetz. They came really close. They have four losses that are 6 points or fewer. One of those is against Auburn, which is the team that they play, which they play now, which gives them their next chance. They're so close. They need the breakthrough game. Maybe it happens against Auburn. Bruce Pearl is back from his laughable two-game suspension for once again being caught being on the wrong side of the NCAA. This guy has more lives than a bag full of cats. It amazes me, but it's a good team. He's got a really good player. He's got three guys on that team that are you know, as good as you're going to find. This is a quality SEC opponent coming to Chaffetz. It would be a big, big chance for SLU to move the needle. They've got some good wins. That road win against Boise State looks really good. The Boston College win is good. They could use a really, really nice one entering conference play, and it presents itself here. So they need that one win that really grabs all of the attention. Maybe this is the time to get one.
Hey, buddy, always great to visit with you. We'll catch you up next week, and be safe. Have a great holiday season, and as always, awesome stuff here on our podcast. What are you working on for this weekend with the Post-Dispatch?
Got a column coming about the Eli Drinkwitz's big recruiting haul and the trajectory that he is on recruiting wise. We've got tons of coverage up with the latest who's in, who's out, who's up next for the St. Louis Blues as they continue to just kind of white knuckle it here through this COVID chaos. A chat recap up with all of the questions answered at STLtoday.com and plenty of videos and podcasts at STL Today too.
And I want to remind everybody, a little shameless plug here, but Fox 2 Saturday night, it's an all-star show, and it's a Hall of Fame show. Ozzie Smith will be my guest. He's doing some great work here in our community, but he's going to get the 82 team together. They're going to have a fundraiser in February. It's hard to believe. It's 40 years. This will be the 40th year of the 1982 team coming up, the anniversary this upcoming summer. So had the chance to visit with Ozzie and also Brad Davis, who is one of the most decorated soccer players to ever come out of St. Louis, recently went into the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame, but he runs the Scott Gallagher Soccer Club, and it's a fun visit with him. So I think people will enjoy that, and that's Fox 2, 10:30. And if you can't watch it, well, you're listening to this. Go back home, wherever you may be, and DVR it, and you get some great content on the sports scene out of that show. Ben, great to catch up, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you then.